one a little bit short because we can take a break after this. And if you'd like to stay, I've got about 20 minutes of a short study on the Passover that I'd like to present with a handout for you also. So we can do that and shorten it up, and we won't have to be that long as well. But I'd sure like to get this information out. It seems like about every 4 years, new news on something different comes around all the time. And whether, in fact, just talking to some people that are more independent-minded at the funeral, I found out that they're keeping the Lord's Supper now and then Passover on the 15th. I can't see how, when you look at Scripture, how you can see anything different, but that's what happens. It says, in the end time, people will heap to themselves itching ears, and there's no more itching ears that you can have today than the social media that we have, so all these things tend to spread. So I'd like to kind of nail down again the fact of the Passover being at the beginning of the 14th. It's just very easy to explain. I've got a chart. And if you have any questions, please ask about anything. I remember when I first was addressed with that, before I was even in the ministry, somebody came up to me with a huge thesis on why the Passover was on the 15th. And it just pretty much blows my mind when I see all the different reasoning, when it's very, very simple. You know, Paul even said, I fear that that those would beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ. This is just so simple to understand. The conversation on the two goats of the Day of Atonement also came up, and that one kind of blows my mind. When I simply said, it's very interesting that they, because the reasoning was that they both pertain to Christ. And I said, why would you have to cast lots then? They cast lots, and it says, the one that fell upon the Lord. Can I say it any slower? They cast lots, and the one that fell upon the Lord was the sacrifice, was the sin offering. The other goat had hands laid on it as well, and the sins were placed on that. But the reasoning was, well, Christ took upon him the sins of the world. I'll go back again. The lots were cast, so it had to be something different, didn't it? So we also understand that that goat was not sacrificed. Christ was. He took upon him the sins of the world, and he died. That other goat didn't die. Well, eventually did, but not as a sacrifice. It was totally different. Then you step away from that, and you think, okay, when is that service done? It's between trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles, right? What incident takes place between trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles? Satan is bound for 1,000 years. So you start to take the precepts, here a little, there a little, and put them together. And use the scriptures that are easiest to explain. The lots were cast, the one that fell upon the Lord. The other one didn't fall upon the Lord. It was that simple. But that's what happens when you heap to yourselves teachers having itching ears. All this stuff spreads around, and it ends up taking people so many different areas. That's why I appreciated Mr. Dean's sermonette today when it came to the covenant. Because we've got to read the terms, don't we? You've got to read the terms. See, God's terms are in small print as well. But it's a different kind of small print. And sometimes we've had to take our Bibles as well, and there are some things that we've crossed out. You go to 1 John chapter 5. That was added in there. So sometimes we've had to go in here and go, what do you mean by that? But we're constantly addressing the terms, aren't we? So the last time we were here, I actually addressed the concept about valuing God's word. How much do we value? Things that you're going to value, you're going to put more time into, aren't you? Things that we value. When you think about the simplicity of that, the things that we value most, we're going to spend the most time with. So that causes us to stop some time and think, how much time are we spending with God? How much time are we spending in His Word and studying and looking at the terms of this contract? Because we're always learning and we're always growing. And just like the Israelites, though, sometimes we're backsliding. If we didn't, then all of us would be pretty perfect right now. I bet everybody pretty much now, I noticed we just started to do this this week. But the baking soda, the baking powder, and the leavening is kind of consolidated right now. We still have more of a deep cleaning type of thing to do. But that baking soda and that baking powder and whatever, I guess we're having pancakes tomorrow. because I know the rest of that gluten-free pancake mix is sitting out there, so we might as well go ahead and use it now. But we've gotten pretty good at that to start to consolidate that. But yet if we are that good at truly putting out our spiritual sins, then we'd be pretty much perfect by now. After all these years, whether how much you've been in the church, 10, 20, 30 years, you think you'd be close enough to perfect for me, God would be saying. But yet we realize we go over this covenant, we go over these terms, and we realize sometimes that we backslide. It's not a fun process sometimes for a human being, and yet that's the process that God takes us through. I hope that we can see this as we, you know, get some of these same things that we've been taught for years, whether it's foot washing, the Passover. I appreciate the fact of understanding what this is all about and going into the Passover this year. I'll be up in London, Kentucky this year with the brethren there at a home this year, and we'll be going through the foot washing again. And it's really a memorial service. The more you really come to terms of understanding what that is all about. You know, the brethren of God's church have taken that with sobriety. We come to the Passover, we're quiet for the most part, unlike usually when we come together for Sabbath services, because we realize the seriousness of what this is all about. We take it seriously, and we should take it seriously. And we learn and we grow, and I hope this one can really be a good one for us, if not the best ever. How can we make it the best ever? With the time that you put into the planning and the preparation for this yourselves. Looking at yourselves in the mirror, fasting, praying, and asking for God to take us to another level this year, that we can really grow, that the bride of Christ can truly be prepared for his return. I hope we're not the ones stalling this, because everything's getting bad out there. It's getting worse, isn't it? But we're looking at value again. So let's take a look at value, but in a different aspect today. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, see, we learned to value God's word as we went through all of the definitions on what the Bible talks about God's word as far as being gold like silver and so many different attributes that the word of God has given. Well, you know, God values us as well. We're all very special to them. You know, when I see people that will come up to me and explain another theory on a doctrinal issue, and I know it's not correct, I don't judge them. I feel bad for them. I hurt for them because I realize that they're on a wrong road that's going to take them to places they may not want to go. And it just there's a whole lot of totally mixed up people like that because of the itching ears syndrome that's out there. And I'm not saying that we're perfect in doctrine in the Church of God, a worldwide association. We're learning and growing as well. But it's got to be according to God's word. It's got to be simple. You've got to show me, if you're going to have a different opinion on doctrine, that you can prove it because of what the word of God says. Not because of something that the Jews are doing. The Jews changed a lot of things, as we see over the years. And today, they value different things, more physical than anything else. Some people still wear the beads, and they value the physical things. We value some physical things, too, but we value more of the spiritual element that we get out of it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, here it says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" Isn't that interesting? If you sit down, once again, I didn't have time last night to sit down and watch Planet Earth, but I love watching that when you see all the birds of the air and you realize, you know, all the flocks and the different types of birds and where they go, and some of them return to the same places, nest at the same places. And you look at that and you see the reality. When you see the creation of God, you see the reality of a creator and a God that's made all things. And he uses these statements and realities to point out how special that we really are. So let's go back here a little bit to verse 20, where it says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also." I know the more people go through life, and you get to these certain points where maybe you move a lot, and you get to different places, and you've got all your stuff. You've got your stuff. Now, my mom and dad and my grandparents, I still have got stuff for my grandparents. And I treasure that, some nice things. But when you start to get a lot of things, it's hard to go through those things and start to get rid of stuff.
Because you may look at it and go, I may need that. And I know the way it works. This is typically the way it works. When I finally decide to get rid of something, the next week I'll probably need that. That's where Murphy's Law comes into play. And yet I realize we got to a point, we had a yard sale about 2 summers ago, I think it was. And we sold some things, but there were a lot of little trinkets and party light things and all that. And we just put the rest into boxes, about 6 pretty big boxes. And I just got tired of seeing those boxes there. So without even looking in them, we told somebody, come on and just pick them up. You know, we would have seen, probably if you would have died, you'll go, oh, wow, I don't want to get rid of this. Well, I don't want to get rid of it. Well, we certainly got, well, that's a value there. We got, and you realize it's going to sit around for so long. So you come to terms and you go, you know, the least amount of things that I have, the easier it is, you know, for us to get things done. And you start to look at other things and treasure other things. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. We are God's treasure. We are valuable to Him when you look at all the things that He says about us. Now let's go over to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. I might have hit this one before, but it's so important for us to understand here as we're looking into, I'll repeat this again because I appreciate it again, speaking of the terms of a contract. We're reading this, and this is what God says about this. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed is he who reads, those who hear, and I mean truly hear. A lot of people will read, but how many people truly hear what's being said in these words? This is basically still pretty much a Christian country. You know, a lot of people look and hear their Bibles, but they don't believe the same thing that we do. They're hearing something different than we're hearing. And I'm very grateful for that, that God gives us truly the understanding to understand what this coming Passover is all about, what the night to be observed is all about. I realized that, and some years ago, the night to be observed started to become more of a party atmosphere. People were bringing more drink and things like that, and I could see what was being brought up in Corinthians, where it says this is not to be some kind of party atmosphere. It's nice to get together for the night to be observed, but we also have in our minds the whole idea of what this was all about. That as the Israelites came out of Egypt with a high hand, we can come out as well, coming out of sin in that sense, and be grateful for the blessings that God has given to us. We celebrate it, yes, by a wonderful meal in most cases, and yes, maybe with some nice wine or drink, but it's all in moderation as well. We learn to do those things so it's pleasing to God. Blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of the prophecy, and also those who keep these words. So we do these things. And some of you here probably have done it maybe all of your life. Some of you came into God's truth. I remember being just kind of stunned in a sense about what people were doing. I remember probably my first foot washing was a little bit unusual. I saw some funny lessons I learned along the way because somebody really close to me, there was somebody that he had kind of a little bit of a bone to pick, and he foot washed that person. I'm going, God really knows what he's doing. He's got a sense of humor. Very interesting. Maybe some of you have heard of some of those things throughout the years. There is a God in heaven. Not only has a sense of humor, but he knows how to work things out as he's working with God's people. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 119. When we look at this value, we can see also now how David valued God's word. And as you know from the entire story, David had his ups and downs through the years. But for the most part, he had a heart after God. And God said that, David, a man after my heart. And yet you realize he had his failures too. He was a human being too. Just like we all have our ups and downs, David did too. Let's see what he speaks about though here in verse 145 of Psalm 119. David said, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, I will keep your testimonies. Remember as we just read in Revelation chapter 1, blessed who reads, David read, David heard, David kept as well. And all these things, these same statutes, these same testimonies. He said, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. Have you ever done that? Sometimes when things just get so low in your life because we all have those ups and downs, I can imagine, again, as Jesus Christ went through in his very low point before he was beaten. You can see what he went through as he cried out to his Father for the help and strength that he needed as well. He said, I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. So he explained the times. See, we don't have maybe that luxury. Some of you do if you're able to go out in your porches and look up at the stars at night and have that peace if you live out in the country a little bit. You know, David had that as he kept watch over the flocks by night. And he had that time. He meditated. He used that time. I can't imagine what David would do if he had like a Samsung or something like that, how much meditation he would do, or would he be playing solitaire or something like that, let some of the wolves come and gobble up the sheep. Who knows, you know, look at how different it is, really. You know, he did have an advantage, and sometimes when you go out at those peaceful times, it's the time really to pray and to meditate and to thank God for the wonderful blessings that he's given to us. So he said, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me according to your justice. See, here's what we're going through. The world kind of distorts this, the Christian community in a sense. They call these things sometimes the tent revivals. If you remember, Mr. Armstrong used to have some of those, but not in the way that some do today where you're, you know, biting off snakes' heads or whatever it might be. A little bit of distortion on this, but you know, we as Christians, we still need revival. We still need to be revived sometimes because you get tired and you get down. God knows that we're physical. He knows it says that we're but dust, that we need that extra strength as well. But David talked about this. He said, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they don't see your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and I'm disgusted. Can you relate to that one? Can you see out, watch some of the news programs and see what's happening? You know, when they're talking about just now, whenever somebody, a baby's born, let it live, kill it. Is that not disgusting? The things that we see now are disgusting. And they've been disgusting for a long time. It says, because they don't keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Does it seem here like God, that David values God's law? Yes, sometimes again, he lost that value when he drifted apart from God's way. But that's another testimony for us again. He said, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you. Do we follow that pattern? Do we think about God seven times a day? It's interesting, again, if you look at creation, one of the great benefits of being able to travel through such beautiful areas is to see the leaves coming back on the trees, to see the beauty of the mountains, and rejoice and give God the credit. He's the one that made them for us. Great peace, he said in verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. So again, here in one chapter, and there's so many chapters in Psalms where David talked to God about his word and about his precepts and statutes. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This is that memory scripture. That as we went through the sword of the Spirit, as Paul brought out in Ephesians, that this is one here that talks about how valuable his word is. In Hebrews Do you remember this one? No, it's interesting. I remember as we went through college, we got those memory scriptures. Maybe you've got some of those. They came in like cards and decks. We had to go through, I think in one class, we had to go through 5 a week or something. It's not that difficult. But you started to learn a little bit more about God's, and as we've gone through God's word, maybe you'll not always remember where it is, and sometimes maybe you will remember where it is. Obviously, for all the places and funerals and memorials that we've gone through, if somebody asks you about the resurrection, I think most of you know where that is. You know, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we've always known that to be the resurrection chapter. And then to talk about people as far as that you sorrow not, as those who don't have the hope, that's what makes it survivable for us, doesn't it? To see those loved ones that have gone before us, and yet we can continue on because we know as these leaves come back on the trees that we're going to see our loved ones again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The choir has that in a song. So there are certain really important memory scriptures that we should look to. Here's another one here in Hebrews 4 verse 12. The word of God is living. What does that mean? The word of God is living. It's not stale information that you're just going over. You know, I tell you what, if you really look at a contract, you want to talk about stale and dead information. It's really just there. You know, it's just there. It's stuff. In fact, you know, it needs to be there. It's almost like somebody saying, as they put on those little dry packs that they put maybe in shoes or something, it comes with those little packs, and they have to put on their do not eat, like somebody's going to throw in some snacks with the shoes. And so you really have to say that. But yet in reality, in a lot of these contracts, you have to say some things, even though a contract's probably not worth the words that's written on it because of the court systems that we have today. That's the value of what we go through and recognize. God's word is of much value, and his word is living. And as you know, and so do I, I'll read through these scriptures, and you'll eventually come up to one and go, I just never looked at it that way before. It's got more deep meaning in some of the messages that we come. There was a little tidbit that was thrown out there in the sermonette today that I go, yeah, look at the way we look at that. The terms. We're looking at the terms of God's covenant with us, and it's our responsibility to read what God wants us to do, because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. Not just laws and statutes, but everything that he says for us to do. And it's a learning process, as you know. If it wasn't, we'd all be perfect right now. And that's just not the case. We are still learning and we're still growing. So it's not always easy to walk the narrow paths. Do we truly understand that living and loving and obeying God is much more than just compliance, though? Because throughout the scriptures, we find the admonition to love God, don't we? So it's not just keeping, it's not just figuring out what he wants to do and abiding by a contract, literally, but it's by doing what David did, saying, I love your ways. I love your law. And so the scripture talks about that, and God set that out before the Israelites, even though he knew that they couldn't do it. The testimony is there for us. Because the admonition is to do love God how? How? If I were to put that on the test, would you know that? How are we supposed to love God? With all what? With all our heart? With all our soul? With all our mind? Those are very important, because if you remember in Scripture, if something is ever duplicated, as I believe it was, and I think it's Exodus or Ezekiel 20, and verse 4 and verse 20, I believe it's 18 verse 4 and verse 20. If I got that right, it says the soul that sins will die. And remember a long time ago we learned, no, it's not one that lives forever. Hey, here it is. In fact, it's there twice. And it's emphasized because God repeats it. There's a lot of things that God repeats, but he really repeats this one. Loving God with all our heart, soul, and might. You can find that, by the way, the whole list is there if you do a word check on this. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, I won't have you turn there. You know what it says. O Israel, to love God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind. You'll find that, look how many places, I'll just repeat these. Chapter 4, verse 29. Chapter 6, 5. Chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 11, verse 13 and verse 18. Chapter 13 and verse 3. Chapter 26 and verse 16. Chapter 30 and verse 2 and verse 6 and verse 10. 1 Kings, chapters 8, verse 61 and chapter 9, verse 4. Do you think that's not important to God? How much do we value that? See, as we come up to the Passover this year, that's a great thing for us to take a look at. God values us so much. How much do we value God? How much do we really value what He's given to us? Because obviously, just like anything else, we can start to take it for granted. We can become like kids that you start to give them everything. They start to get, now kids today, they're getting all these toys that they can just, you go get them at Walmart. I still remember, you know, and yet I felt like I was given a lot, but, you know, we had to build our stuff. You know, if you could find somebody that threw out a lawnmower, yes, wheels. We got wheels. Now you can go to Walmart and get your cart, you know, and just buy one. Yet if you found some lumber and you had some extra nails, you could actually build one. And then if you actually found a running motor, I remember the one that my brother took a bike frame. And he had the little wheel that ran the rubber cord to it that would turn the wheel. And he didn't have a smaller wheel, so he had a bicycle wheel. So it almost was like a Harley when he sat back there, this little motorcycle. I remember one time because the throttle didn't work very well, we couldn't stop. And I had to reach behind there and try to pull up the spark plug thing to detach him. I was just getting shocked the whole time. You know, the stuff that we went through as kids, you know, when you didn't have everything, though, You value those times because you learned a lot. And there's not much of valuing anymore because of we've been so blessed and God knew that that would happen. But as you look back at that, did Israel ever love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might? You can find the answer in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Do you remember that? Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all of my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Commandments, by the way, there doesn't just mean the Ten Commandments. It means all of God's commands, the statutes, everything. But due to their backsliding and forgetfulness, their unfaithfulness, their ungratefulness, their stony heart, their kingdom was once again removed from them, just like we're seeing it. Saddest thing. Saddest thing for us that have been through some really good times. Probably my generation better than some others. Because I never had to register for the draft. I never fought in a war. I hardly know what that's like unless I watched Saving Private Ryan. And I saw how horrible it was. All the families that were broken up, a devastated mankind, the wars. And who was behind all those? Who's behind mankind killing each other? Satan the devil. And he's going to have to be bound. And yes, those sins are going to be placed on him because there is no atonement for him. There is no sacrifice for him. But how about for us? What does it truly mean to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? And what's this got to do with the coming Passover? Let's take a look at this. If we can take a look at some of these terms. Let's take a look at some of these terms. Let's look at the word heart. If you look at the two terms that the Bible refers to in heart, in the New Testament, you've got the Greek word called cardia. Cardia. You've heard of cardio. That's where that term comes from, heart, a heart person. But that's in the Hebrew, or the Greek, I'm sorry, it's spelled with a K. K-A-R-D-I-A. No, interestingly enough, you know what the basic meaning for this is? Feeling. Feeling. Now, at least we can understand that. I sure can. Because sometimes you try to recapture that. Wouldn't it be always great to have that little Twitter path? You know, if husbands came home to your wives, wouldn't it be great to look at your wife and all of a sudden your heart just starts picking up the pace? Because it did that from the beginning. Remember when we first met them? I mean, you couldn't wait to see them. You know, you had this feeling. But you realize that though the feeling is there and it's a deeper feeling, doesn't always just encompass this, becomes a matter of how you treat each other, how you respond to each other. We were just watching something last night as far as, you know, the point system, you know, chalking up points for a guy, how difficult that can be sometimes because we just end up taking our spouses for granted. So we're really making a bed is going to get me a point. So I made sure I made up the bed this morning. I said, did I get a point this morning? She gave me two. But I also realized how easy it is to lose them. You can do one faulty mistake and you lose a bunch of points. It doesn't seem to be fair. But it's also humorous. It's really humorous but effective because it's true. It's true how we respond to each other. Realize that. There's a feeling there. There's a feeling there. The Hebrew term is called leba, L-E-B-A-H. So you've got feeling, and now you've got something else substantial too. It's courage. You'll find this reflected when God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. There had to be a feeling there in his heart that he loved God so much that it didn't matter. This is what God said. In fact, as that you look back at that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to love God. Because see, to them, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They told a great king, it doesn't matter what you do. And I thought throughout the years they could at least pretended to get on their knees so it looked like that. That's what, you know, people are looking for the out. They weren't even looking for an out. They just said, we're trusting a God so much, we love him with all our heart, soul, and mind that we're leaving the outcome to God. He is able to deliver us, but as you read, they said, and if he doesn't, doesn't matter. We're not bowing to you. How about that kind of courage? Would you like to have that kind of courage? Then that's the kind of love that we need to have that comes from God. And you need to ask for it. And then you need to respond by valuing what he says to do and doing it. So you've got a feeling and you've got a courage that's expressed from the heart. You know, that's where that term, the importance, I actually never went through that element when I discussed the armor of God, but that's the breastplate. That's having on the breastplate to make sure that's guard, that you don't lose heart like the Israelites did. And they saw everything. They saw God lead them out of Egypt, all the miracles that took place, the coming through the Red Sea. You'd be thinking, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? After all that they saw, the first thing that they do when Moses goes up to the mount, they build an idol representative of Satan the devil. Nice job for Satan to get to him so quickly. That's what can happen to the people of God as well. And that's what's happened as well. They've taken off the breastplate. They've taken out all those elements. Well, let's take a look at the word soul. So to love God with all of our soul, with all of our feeling, with all of our courage. The word soul, the Greek term for this, is psuche. You've probably heard of that before. This is spelled P-S-U-C-H-E. P-S-U-C-H-E. And it means breath or spirit. Breath or spirit. You know, we understand that there is a spirit in man. We understand also that there's a spirit of God. For those who have had hands laid on, or if God's Spirit is working with you, it's there. It's there to identify that. Breath or spirit. The Hebrew term for soul, most of you probably know that. Can you take a guess at that? Remember soul? The soul that sins, what's the soul? It's the nephesh. Remember the nephesh. This term also, besides body, can mean breath or spirit. It's so interesting. That's fascinating too. We read over the terms so quickly that I like to think about the time that God made Adam. And he made a circulatory system, an endocrine system, a skeletal system. All these systems that you see how they function. Only the fool says there's no God when you see how everything functions and works together. And yet he took dust and he made all these systems, but it was just a body. As you know, it's just a body. That's the reality. As cold as it may sound, it's the reality. When I saw Anna, it was just a body. But the reality was, you know, we know what God does. We don't know where it is, but we know that God takes the Spirit and it's reserved till the time of that resurrection. And for those that are resurrected as spirit beings, that Spirit will go back to them. Now, I don't know, again, how that functions when it functions and works with the Spirit of God as well. It's going to be incredible how that's, but once you have the fullness of God's Spirit, it's just like, that's going to be such a wow moment. And we wonder, are we going to treasure and have all the great memories? See, when God talks about sin, he says, I'll cast them as far as east as from the west. And what's added on to that? He says, I'll remember them no more. I don't want to remember the wrong things I've done. And I wonder when we get the fullness of that Spirit, if the blessing that comes with it, with that's all you get, is all the wonderful memories that you can cherish from when God placed us on and gave us not just the Spirit of man, but his Spirit as well. So he takes Adam and it says he breathed within him. So it seems to indicate that it was kind of that startup. You know, I don't think he had to pound on the chest to start the heart up. He breathed in him that breath, that maybe that breath of oxygen, but it was also that Spirit that started that up. Adam opens up the eyes. This is a good question for Adam. What in the world was that like? You now you're awake. You have no memories. You're just like you're a startup. Do you think God just says, now have at it? I don't think so. We see little elements in there that God was walking with them as he came to be in the garden, and he taught them. And he taught them all the things that they needed to know, both Adam and Eve. But the reality, when it comes down to it, that really happened is fascinating. What God does with the Spirit. And you and I are witnesses and the testimony of that today, because the same thing happens with us. Because we can reason and we can create. It's different than the Spirit that God puts in an animal. Even though he gives them the instinctive nature, we've got the ability to create, to be able to think, to be able to change, to be able to make mistakes and correct our errors along the way. How that works is incredible. That's that breath. So we're to love God with all of our soul. In other words, with all of our being. Did you ever hear the term, I don't know if it's north or south. I've wondered, I'm not getting an actual answer on this. But I'm going to do this with all get out, they say. I don't know if that's Texas or what. I've heard that term before, but it's a reality. I'm going to do this with all get out. With every part of my being, I'm going to put everything I can into this. That's it. If you want to have the best Passover that you've ever had, then you've got to do this with all get out, because God doesn't shortcut. You know, whatever a man reaps, what he sows. So you can't put a little bit in there and expect a lot to come out. Very interesting thing to teach our kids and our grandkids. What are the kids nowadays being taught? Hey, just grow up and you deserve it all. You deserve it. You deserve free college. You deserve free this. You deserve all these entitlements. And that's what a lot of the adults have come to understand too. That healthcare is a right. They are so full of baloney. It's so sad to watch that mentality just take this nation down, because people won't work for what they get. They're not wanting to sow, and they're not going to reap. Same thing for us. The testimony is there for us too. We've got to love God with all of our get out. It's going to be reflected in what we do and how we respond. The next one is mind. Mind, the Greek term here is dianoia. If the Bible talks about the mind in the New Testament, you'll see the word dianoia. Dianoia. D-I-A-N-O-I-A. D-I-A-N-O-I-A. Greek term meaning deep thought or understanding. Where do you get deep thought or understanding? I've seen a lot of shallow thought. I've seen a lot of shallow words. How about deep thought? Deep thought was when you go back to David. David had a lot of deep thought because he meditated. He thought a lot. You know, those times that you have to meditate are some of the best times that you can really truly value. Those times to think and say, God, I've not really been on the right track. I need some guidance and I need some help. You know, sometimes when people talk about problems, a problem that they have, one of the best things I found is when somebody can identify the problem. Now, sometimes if something's happening, you don't know what it is. Sometimes we may play games, we may ignore it, you may know what it is, but truly identifying the problem. If you ever are at a point in your life when you go, you know, I'm just down. I'm not sure why. It could be a multitude of things. Maybe I'm not being praying enough. Maybe enough things have been happening around me in my life. Or maybe just Satan is attacking. And you just feel this downtime. Everybody's got them, so I know I'm talking to the choir here. But I remember acknowledging that and thinking about that. And going, you know, I've just been down. So you identify it. What do? You get on your knees. And you cry out to God. And you say, I need some revival going on here. And watch God answer. Because every one of us here has our low times. And we also have our high times, which are great. I wish we could always stay on those high times, but it's just not the way a human being can function. We've got our low times too, but we cry out to God. Normally in those lowest of times, what do you do in your highest of times? You can praise God. And we can sing his praises. Deep thought or understanding. This is part of loving God with all of our mind and the way that we think. Now, it's interesting, as the Apostle Paul pointed out, because we get these negative attacks from Satan. And he says, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God, and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every time we think something, what are we thinking? Somebody just said the other day, I thought there's elements of truth to this. When you get up in the morning, probably the first 5 or 10 minutes of what you think may define your day. When you get up, think about that. Is that true for you? When you start your day out, you know, it's not really good to start out your day with negative thoughts. It'd be nice to start out the day thinking, this is a new day. I know I've messed up, but it's a new day. And get on your knees and ask God to make it a new day for you. See, that renewal has to be all the time. It has to be a daily basis, not just on the Sabbath, not just on the Passover, but every day. Thinking about this, we think about too many other things sometimes, too many other things that are happening that we can't even keep up with. Sometimes we're, do you ever talk with somebody, you can't even remember what you're going to say? Or you can't, there's something that you can't remember? I've told people a long time ago, this is not senior moment stuff. It's called information overload. We're packed with information. I know it's going to come out eventually, but sometimes I can't think. Too many mind. Just too much mind. Too many things on our mind. We just stop and think about God. Hebrew term for mind is the word mehod, M-E-H-O-D-E, if I'm pronouncing that correctly in Hebrew. M-E-H-O-D-E. This is an interesting definition. This can mean vehemence. Where does that come in with the mind? Vehemence. Diligently or exceedingly. Now you can kind of see where this is going. Again, with all get out, put it that way. Remember the scripture that we used to talk about in Spokesman's Club, or maybe some of the women got it if you had a women's club? You went to the chapter of Matthew where it talked about the kingdom, the God's people take the kingdom of God with violence. Wow, we're a violent people? That's not what it's saying. But it means it talks about fighting the good fight. So yeah, it's a battle and it's a fight. And if you're going to fight, you've got to do it with all vehemence, with all seriousness. So what do? We're starting it out right. I believe that everyone here that's baptized that will partake of the Passover this year will have this on your mind. You come, you're serious, you want to do this right. You want to start it out right? It doesn't seem to last very long, does it? Because too quickly, we get our minds back into the world again. And if we're loving God this way, you won't go back there that quickly. We'll be more apt to stay on track. So see, the more that we do this, the more successful that you're going to be. What a better time again for reflection as we approach the Passover. Can we not commit ourselves, though, even more diligently and zealously to loving God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. Revelation 19:6. You know, obviously, most of the professing Christian world today understands the scripture of how much God loves us. In fact, they don't understand who he is, though. But the Father loves us so much that it says he gave his only begotten Son. We're reflecting on that. So we're looking at, we understand the process of this life, of eternal life, of how we get there. I'm perplexed. Really, that so few understand what we do. How much do we value that? When you get it, it's so eye-opening. Just go out there. Get on I-26. Most of this world does not understand what we do. And it's right there before our eyes. How much do we truly value this? Revelation 19, verse 6, and I'll finish here. Revelation 19, 6, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of many mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns, the one that we're here to worship today. But it says, let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, speaking of God the Father, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, his wife has made herself ready. Something a lot of different things on this. I know God gives rewards. And if you and I follow through with this and love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, you're probably going to be here. And I can't even imagine how wonderful of a time this is going to be. This will wipe away every part of sadness, every tear that you've ever had. To be here, there's going to be so much joy. Isn't there value in understanding the meaning of that we simply have to wait it out a little bit longer? We can be a little bit jealous sometimes, by the way, and I am a little bit sometimes. I remember when Mr. Armstrong died back in 86, I was frankly a little bit jealous. It's done. No more headaches, no more bickerings, no more, he doesn't have to deal with any more attacks, even though they're still attacking him after he's dead. But I thought about that to all that have died in Christ. Their time is done. It's over with. No more suffering. That's it. That's the last that they'll see of a decrepit body that's just aching and getting sore. Anybody in that position here, by the way? Anybody looking to a body that doesn't hurt anymore or that you can't bend? You know, we had a social a couple of weeks ago. They were going to do a limbo. I was going to go, I'm last place here because that's about all you're going to get from me. It doesn't bend anymore. That's just the way that it works. And it's not fun getting older. And you realize this as you get older and older. And I look back and to see the scripture that says, rejoice in your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Oh, if you could just tell them. Oh, if they could have just told me. And that's life, isn't it? That's what we experience. So we're supposed to be living testimonies. So I always say, thank God for those that have been around for 20, 30, and 40 years. Thanks a lot for hanging in there, because you're a testimony that through all the things that you've gone through and all the hurts and all the pains and all the divisions and everything, you still come. You must be loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Maybe not to the level yet where we're supposed to be at, but some of that's still there, or you might not be here. It says, to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And we must truly understand that this righteousness is beyond just compliance. It's obedience from the heart. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. So as we approach this Passover, please, 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 let's work on having the best one. We've always talked about the feast being the best one ever. Let's have this Passover be the best one ever as well.